Hey, good morning, everyone. So the prophet Isaiah lived in a dark and dangerous time. There's a map here. Take a look at the map. So Northern Kingdom, that was called Israel, wiped off the face of the earth by the Assyrian Empire during the lifetime of Isaiah. Southern Kingdom was called Judah. That's where Jerusalem is. At this time, it's ruled by a wicked and incompetent king whose name was Ahaz, okay? So Ahaz, not a very good guy, and he didn't trust in God to save Judah from the threat of the day. He decided he was going to put his faith in the king of Assyria, and if you studied history at all, you know that's a really bad idea, to put your faith in the king of Assyria. He says in 2 Kings 16 through 7, he tells the king of Assyria, "I am your servant. I am your son. Come up and rescue me." So you know what he did? King Ahaz, he takes all the silver and all the gold that was in the holy temple. He gives it to the king of Assyria. And then, inside the holy temple in Jerusalem, he built pagan shrines to the gods of Assyria. And then, most diabolical of all, King Ahaz sacrificed his own son in the fires of a pagan idol. Really appalling stuff. Now, Isaiah opposed King Ahaz, opposed his domestic policy, opposed his foreign policy. He kept on speaking out against Ahaz. He says at the beginning in the book of Isaiah, he says, "Your rulers are rebels, partners with thieves. They all love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them." And so, Isaiah promised, you know what? This king you got, not working out. I'm going to give you a new king. And this new king is going to have a name. We're going to call this king of Judah Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This new king was going to bring righteousness and justice back to the land. Now, we Christians, we believe that Jesus is this Prince of Peace that Isaiah promised. It took 7 centuries between Isaiah's promise until Jesus Christ was born in a manger in Bethlehem. 700 years. That's a really long time to wait for a promise to come true, right? You think that's bad? Think about this. We've had Jesus for 2,000 years. And in a very real way, Jesus is our Prince of Peace right now. But 2,000 years later, we are still waiting for peace on earth. Anyone feel like we've achieved peace on earth? Anyone at all? No. Jesus has come into his kingdom, and yet we're still waiting for everyone to recognize that Christ is King, that we celebrated last week, that Jesus is the Prince who will lead us into peace. So welcome to the season of Advent. This is the waiting time. This is where we remember that Jesus being the Prince of Peace is already and it's not yet, right? That's what Advent is. It's already, not yet. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. And yet, we are a long way from world peace. We are a long way from righteousness and justice ruling in the land. We are still a long way from Jesus wiping out all the evil in the world. God, who was faithful to remember the promise of Isaiah and make it come to reality 700 years later, will be faithful to bring this promise to complete fruition in the day of Jesus Christ. And that is our hope. So we turn today to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, and we hear this good news prophesied long, long ago. It goes like this: "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God's word. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Is this worth waiting for? Yeah, this is worth waiting for. Today we're going to talk about what does it mean for us to call Jesus the Prince of Peace. For us to say, yeah, Jesus, he fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, okay? Now, some of you might already know the Hebrew word for peace. Anyone remember? What would he say to say peace in Hebrew? Shalom. Have you heard that word before? Yeah, a lot of you know that word shalom, right? But shalom is a much bigger word in Hebrew than just no more war, right? Shalom means wholeness and contentment and safety and friendship and righteousness and justice. My favorite definition of shalom in the Bible comes from Psalm 85:10, and that is love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Doesn't that sound good? To have righteousness and peace give each other a great big smooch? That is shalom. That's what it means when the Prince of Peace comes. So we Christians, we believe that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He brings us into this righteousness and justice, this faithfulness and love. He brings us there. And right now, you can experience the wholeness and the faithfulness of God by following the teachings of Jesus. Right now, you can experience the forgiveness and grace by confessing your sins to Jesus and being set free from the burdens of your sin. Right now, you can have eternal life if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. In a very real way, Jesus is our Prince of Peace right now. And yet, the world doesn't seem like a particularly peaceful place today, does it? Who was reading their newspaper this week? Anyone? Anyone pay attention to the news? Dave was. North Koreans tested another intercontinental ballistic missile. Is that making you anxious, anyone? Of course, a couple weeks ago, they were talking about how they could reach Washington State. Now they're talking how they could reach Washington, D.C. So maybe we feel better. I don't know. But I don't know. That's kind of unsettling news. Famous men continue to lose their positions of power because of accusations of sexual harassment and abuse. We talked about this at length, 2 weeks ago? And here we are 2 weeks later, and some people that I've always enjoyed suddenly are in the number of these creepy guys doing creepy things. And it makes me reevaluate. Oh, wait. What do I do with those Garrison Keillor tapes, you know? A Bosnian war criminal swallowed cyanide in court rather than to confess to his atrocities. We'd rather swallow poison than to come clean about the bad things that we have done. A former national security advisor admitted that he lied to the FBI this week. There is no peace at home. There is no peace abroad. There are a lot of people out there that need to come to Jesus before we are going to see genuine peace, real peace here on earth. Amen? Amen. So how do we find comfort in this waiting time? How do we find comfort in this Advent time where it's already the time of the Prince of Peace and yet, not yet? What I suggest is that we take the promises of the prophet Isaiah and we compare them to what's going on in our own lives this morning. Because there's good news in the prophet Isaiah. There's encouragement in the words of Isaiah of what this Prince of Peace is going to do in our lives. So what I'd like you to do today is I'd like you to grab a pencil or a pen, by the way. And inside your bulletin, you've got this blank sheet of paper. It's called Sermon Notes. You may have never used it before. I don't know. Maybe you have. I hope you have. But it's called Sermon Notes. I would like you to take this out, even if you don't normally do this sort of thing, even if you're not a note taker, go with me this Sunday, all right? One time. Pull out your sermon notes, and I want you to write down three words today. Three words that we find in today's scripture. Word number one, darkness. Okay? Leave enough room to write something after these three words, okay? Word number one is darkness. Word number two is burden. Word number three is violence. Darkness, burden, violence. You got them all written down? Good. The first word we're going to talk about today is darkness. Isaiah promises that when the Prince of Peace comes, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. Does that sound good to you? That sounds good to me. No more gloom for those who are in distress. I know there are some people in distress here this morning. No more gloom. We sang that in the song this morning. I love it when those connections come. That I wasn't even thinking about. Isaiah prophesied in today's scripture that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Does that sound like you? Does that feel like you right now? Have you noticed how dark it's getting? Have you been paying attention to how dark it is getting? You know what time the sun set last night? 4:16 p.m. here in Mount Vernon. If you think that's early, I want you to consider Anchorage, Alaska. The sun went down at 3:50 p.m. last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say. And if you think that's early, I want you to consider Stockholm, Sweden. I was talking about how I lived in Sweden last week, and I went to Stockholm in the middle of December. Whoo, it's bleak. Yesterday, it was gloomy. Yesterday, the sun set at 2:55 in the afternoon. When I was there, it was a little further in the month of December, and I got to tell you, it was really gloomy. It was really bleak. I mean, I ate my lunch, and it was time to go to bed. It was really disturbing. And on the one hand, I knew as a scientific fact that the sun would come up the next morning. But I got to tell you, at 2:30 in the afternoon or whatever it was, it did not feel like the sun would be coming up anytime soon. Gloom. Have you been feeling gloomy lately? I know that some of you are feeling overwhelmed by the darkness because I hear you telling me it. I know that some of you are feeling right now like the sun will never shine again. And this morning, I want you to step out of the shadows, and I want you to come into the light. It's time to leave the gloom. It's time to leave the gloom. After the word darkness, I want you to write something that is gloomy in your life. Or I want you to write down something that's gloomy in your family system. Or I want you to write down something gloomy in the nation or something gloomy in the world. There's plenty of news out there, friends. There's got to be something you could write down after the word darkness. Write it down for me, please. This is an interactive sermon day, not just a listening day. Interactive. I want you to give this thing over, whatever it is, this gloomy thing, this dark thing, over to the Prince of Peace. You know, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I got to tell you, whatever that gloomy thing is, give it to Jesus. It may not change tomorrow. The lights may not come on quickly. It might be gradual, the way that the sun comes gradually back after December 21st. I don't know, but I believe that just as the sun keeps getting brighter and brighter once we get past winter solstice, that Jesus, who is the light of the world, can bring light into the gloomiest situation you can write down. Did you think something down for me? I hope you did. The second word for today is burden. Did you write down burden yet? Write that down. Isaiah promised that when the Prince of Peace comes, our burdens will be taken away. He prophesied, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Burdens. Doesn't that sound good to have the burdens taken off of your shoulder right now? Christmas is coming. Does that sound like a blessing to you? Or does that sound like a burden to you right about now? I suppose it depends on whether you are carrying the mail. According to the United States Postal Service, the mail traffic doubles this time a year. 220 million letters a day. Can you imagine all your postcards, all of your Christmas cards going out to all your friends? That's a lot of weight on someone's back, isn't it? 6 million packages a day. That's what the United States Postal Service does. 6 million packages a day. UPS delivers more than 630 million packages between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's incredibly ironic that we celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace, who is to relieve our burdens by breaking the backs of our mail deliverers. I mean, when was the last time you thought of Cliff Clavin? Really, seriously, when have you ever thought of Cliff Clavin and what you were doing to his back? I know that some of you are feeling weighed down right now like a mail carrier at Christmas. For some of you, the holiday season feels more like a burden than a blessing, and I want you to write down whatever that thing in your life that feels like a burden right now. I want you to take a load off by giving that over to the Prince of Peace, to Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Did you write something down next to burden on your piece of paper? Thank you. Your load will feel a lot lighter if you can lean on the strength of the Prince of Peace. The third and final word for this morning is violence. Now, Isaiah makes some really wild promises about what it's going to be like when the Prince of Peace comes, right? No more violence. No more war. He says today, in today's scripture, Isaiah writes, every warrior's boot that has been used in battle and every garment that has been rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will become fuel for the fire. That's a nice thought, right? That's a lot of army surplus stores burning down, but it means no more war. A little earlier, Isaiah makes this promise that's even more famous than that, and he shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate between many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Wow, that sounds good. How's that looking in the world today, huh? How are we doing on that one? Skip ahead a little bit in Isaiah, and he talks about the animals, that the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, and their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den, and they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Friends, that's shalom. That's shalom. That's the promise of the Prince of Peace. And it doesn't sound quite right today, does it? Scared about North Korea? Anyone scared that we are in the middle of the longest war in American history in Afghanistan and we don't even talk about it very much anymore? Anyone disturbed about the fact that there's this war going on against the Islamic State in Syria right now, in Iraq right now, and people are suffering right now, and people are dying right now? Does anyone pay any attention to Nobel Peace Prize winner Aung San Suu Kyi, who has failed to condemn, much less stop, the genocide in Myanmar? Don't they give Nobel Peace Prizes for that sort of thing? We're living in a dark and a dangerous time. Instead of despairing at the state of the world, I want to invite you to pray to the Prince of Peace. Write down a prayer request after the word violence. Maybe this is in your life. Maybe you just got really nervous by that church shooting down in Texas. Maybe you're thinking about world events. Write down something that is violent, that scares you. Give it over to Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and remember these words from Jesus. Peace I leave you with. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I get scared of violence. How about you? Do not be afraid, says the Prince of Peace. Now, we are a long way from swords being beaten into plowshares, and we are a long way away from wolves snuggling with lambs and lions agreeing to eat their straw. And we are not going to achieve world peace with our good intentions. The end of violence comes when we embrace the Prince of Peace, who changes the world in a way that only God can, with the zeal of the Lord, says Isaiah. God does something we cannot do. And it happens when we embrace Jesus, who is our Prince of Peace. I want to invite you now to the table that belongs to the Prince of Peace. This is the Prince of Peace's table, okay? This is his table, not my table. This is his table. And at this table, we are reconciled to God the Father Almighty because of the love and the grace of Jesus, who takes away our sins and wipes them clean. What's more, this is the table where we are reconciled to each other. You don't feel very peaceful towards your brother right now? You don't feel very peaceful to your family member right now? Here is where we are reconciled in Jesus Christ. This is an incredible symbol of the right now of Jesus being the Prince of Peace. It's also a table of expectation, because at this table we are reunited with people who were and people who will be believers in Jesus Christ throughout the ages. My friends, we are going to sup at the table of the Prince of Peace, and it should remind us all that it is already and it is not yet on our journey to genuine world peace. Amen.